My name is Jerry, and this is the Wild Eye Podcast. Seasons in Amboseli. Hey everybody, my name is Jerry, I'm from Wild Eye. Now, if you've been following the podcast for a while, you know that, and we're going way back here, I used to host what was called the Big Cats and Tuskers Photo Safari, which saw myself and the guests go to Big Cats, Masai Mara, and Tuskers, Amboseli. I've said many times that Amboseli is one of my favorite or most photographic reserves in Africa. It's pretty small compared to a lot of the other ones, but the diversity that you get there, the mountain in the background, the marshes, the forest at the base of the mountain, the dry lake bed is absolutely amazing. And from a teaching point of view, it's one of those places where you can go and you kind of plan certain things. I know that if we drive in the afternoon outside of Altakai, that we go to the marshes, we'll be able to do exposure compensation exercises. You can do landscape exercises there. So it's an amazing photographic destination. And I remember when I stopped hosting that particular trip, Michael took over. He was still brand new with us. Now, about 10 years later, he is I think he is our Amboseli expert. He's done many, many trips there. And in this episode, he's going to share some of the differences in seasons in this absolutely incredible destination. If you have been looking at an Amboseli trip with us or someone else, or you're just curious, this one has a lot of value, so I hope you enjoy.
Hello, everybody. My name is Michael Laukscher, and in this episode, I'm going to be chatting to you about one of my favorite safari destinations in Africa, being the Amboseli. And more specifically, the seasons within it, my favorite times to visit it, and the reasons as to what and why these periods make it my favorite time. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Amboseli National Park is a fairly small, if you look at the kind of boundary lines, a fairly small reserve in Kenya, and geographically speaking, it's like situated in the south, southern and kind of southeastern corner of Kenya, adjacent to Tanzania, with Kilimanjaro as its backdrop. So what makes this area so unique is that you've got some of Africa's largest free-roaming herds of elephant walking the foothill of Kilimanjaro, which is pretty incredible. But now, understanding the seasons will obviously make a big difference as to how this will affect your experience and what it is you're trying to achieve, may it be photographically or just your general expectations of the Amboseli. And these seasons are vastly different. Although Kenya is seen as a very tropical kind of climate, it is influenced quite heavily by its long and short rains, whereas its short rains are usually from around October to December, and your long rain periods around about April and May, and then everything in between that is pretty dry, and certain times of the year extremely hot. So January, February can be very, very hot in this region and in Kenya as a whole. So yeah, let's dive into seasons within the Amboseli and what I love about each particular season. And I'm going to break it down and focus on, let's just say, wet and dry seasons. Primarily the long wet season being April and May, and then the shorter dry months, their peak season for safari, as it is throughout the entire Kenya due to the Great Migration, around June, July, and August into September. These are extremely different times in terms of climate and what you can expect within the Amboseli. Now, I'm going to save my best for last. And I'm going to start off with the drier months. So your dry season, which, and generally looking at where Amboseli is located, can be a very hot and humid destination. But between the months of June and October, as I've mentioned, this is the peak season within the Amboseli and within Kenya. And so therefore prices will be somewhat spiked and increased during this time. But the reason why it is the peak season is, as I've mentioned, due to the Great Migration. And so visitors usually do a circuit visit around the country, fitting in all the big known and pretty famous reserves, such as the Amboseli. I mean, who doesn't want to see Africa's largest animal in front of, or the world's largest land animal, being the elephant, in front of Africa's largest mountain and the tallest freestanding mountain in the world, being Kilimanjaro. Dry season, Amboseli. It's obviously dry, so therefore very dusty. And with this particular mountain, it actually creates its own weather pattern, which is pretty fascinating to see, causing a lot of updrafts and warm thermals and cloud buildup around it. It's pretty cool to experience how that mountain actually controls the weather around it and the surrounding areas, such as the Amboseli. But now, Amboseli, the word Amboseli means, it's a Ma word, which is pretty much, put into simple terms, a place of dust. Ambuse is the Ma phrase for a dusty place, or the place of dust. So if you want to experience a lot of dust, fine white dust, with big dust devils in all directions as the day heats up, Amboseli is the place for you. But that being said, from a photographic aspect, it is very cool to incorporate this dust into your scenes. May it be animals walking to and from the foothills, either early morning at sunrise or late afternoon at sunset, and you have them walking through the dust. It really is like an iconic and really picturesque African moment. And then, as I've mentioned, with those dust devils in the heat of the day, when you don't get these rich colors with the dust, you get these really cool looking dust devils that you can use either in your photograph or just to admire as you enjoying the scenery of the Amboseli. Animal movements in the dry season is pretty predictable in a sense. There's a particular road that runs pretty much east to west from one of the main gates called Kimana all the way into the only two lodges within the Amboseli, being Serena and Altukai. Those are big chains and big lodges or resorts, should I actually say, within the Amboseli. They are smaller private niche, little intimate camps outside the national park itself, and well worth a visit. If you want to chat about them a bit more and have questions, please feel free to reach out. But this particular road is a road in which, if you want to see elephants in front of the mountain, that's the road you need to sit on. Because typically early morning, the mountain opens up in the dry season. But there is a very high chance that it does not open up. If you want to see the mountain with elephants in front of it, there's not the best chance of seeing that during this time of the year. I've traveled to the Amboseli for the past almost 10 years now, and I've seen the mountain open and clear during these months. But for the most part, you need a number of days, at least. Yes, I've been there 4 or 5 nights at a time and haven't seen the mountain during this time of the year, just because of how the mountain itself just controls the weather patterns and the cloud buildup around the mountain throughout the year. And this particular time of year, there's just very thick, heavy blankets hugging and the sides of the mountain. And so the chances of it opening up is a lot less. But as I'd mentioned, the movements of the animals is a lot more predictable, because it is dry And there's many various landscapes within the Imbecile. One of the four, if I remember correctly, four or five, are the evergreen swamps, which is fed by the melting snow and ice up on the mountain, running through the water, and there's a nice high water table within the Imbecile. Now, in the dry months, these animals are obviously drawn to this particular area, not only for water, but for good food. And these elephants spend their entire day within a big bowl of salad, really, busy feeding, cooling off, and drinking water. And then in the evenings, they make their way out of the swamps. And majority of the animals, including your plains game, like your wildebeest, your zebra, all make their way up and away from the marsh in the evenings, where it will get colder and cooler, a lot more insects and biting insects. They'll then make their way up to the kind of wooded foothills and slopes of Kilimanjaro, spend their evening there, and then early morning they turn around and they walk their way back. So spending time on Kimana Road is where you really want to be, to watch these elephants walk out of these beautiful forests on the foothills, over the open plains, towards the Kimana Road that I usually go sit on early in the morning and watch these elephants walk in front of the mountain, if you're lucky enough, having it open and clear, and into the marshes and the swamps for the day. And in the evening, that just repeats itself. You can go, there's many other places to explore in the Imbecile, and animals are obviously always moving. On a recent trip way far away from the swamps in Kimana Road, myself, the two guests I was hosting, and our guide Ken had the privilege of seeing a caracal and her kitten, which that absolutely blew my mind. It's the second time I've seen caracal in that reserve. But seeing her with a baby was just spectacular. So there's always something really special to see in that place, as long as you're patient and willing to put in the time and explore. Bird life is next level. And there's lion prides. There are cheetah that I see on a regular basis out there. There has been one pack of dogs, which I think came from Tavo side. There's a big animal corridor that runs from Tavo into the Imbecile. So there's a lot of good other sightings other than just elephants and mountains. But one of the reasons what kind of makes Imbecile such a beautiful place for me is because of these massive herds of elephant, free roaming elephant. It's also home to some of the largest tuskers in the world and some of the last remaining big elephant tuskers in the world. Craig is currently the largest in the Imbecile, and he's an absolute gem of an animal. Such a huge elephant, mammoth-like, but he's got the heart and the soul of a little dormouse. He's so gentle and so calm. And that's what makes this place special, is just how at ease elephants are with human presence. And then the scenery you find them with them, that the largest land animal in the world is dwarfed by this ginormous mountain behind them. But I'm getting sidetracked. Speaking of Kimana Road and animal movements, it is quite predictable, because come the long rains, this movement does seem to disperse somewhat, and it's pretty difficult to kind of guesstimate and estimate as to when and where these animals will be moving, but more about that in a little bit. The last point I want to make with regards to any dry season within the Imbecile. So as I've mentioned, June and October. January, March is also fairly dry, but it is very, very hot during January and March. So I just warn you, if you do decide to go into the Imbecile during this time of the year, be sure that you pack enough electrolytes, a cooling towel, sunscreen, a hat, pack that stuff anyway. But it gets super toasty during January and March. But game viewing is great year round in the Imbecile. That's one thing that I love so much about it. But the biggest pro for me when it comes to the dry season in the Imbecile, obviously dust is one thing. As a photographer, that's what you want. But the great thing about the dry season in the Imbecile is the dry lake bed to the west of the reserve. Makes up a massive part of the reserve, but it's like an arid moon-like landscape. It is eerie, it is quiet, and the silence is deafening out there. And during the dry periods when these animals move away from the marshes and up to drier, higher grounds, there are a select number of herds, elephant herds, but then also loads of zebra, giraffe, wildebeest, oryx, eland, who all migrate across and over this massive lake bed. The size of it, I'm not sure, but it takes a good kind of 5 to 10 minutes, like racing from east to west to get to the other side. So it's a massive, open, vast, cracked, dry soil landscape, which again, from a photographic aspect, is such a great place to be. But even just to sit there, and if you're not photographing it and just wanting to visit this park and enjoy it, it is, these paths that these elephants walk have been paths of generations and generations of elephant that have moved over this plain. They've walked that path. Bloodlines have walked that path endless amounts of times. And being able to sit there and just watch this journey over this, what literally seems like deserted land, is something that honestly really moves you. And it just makes you remember that, or make you realize just how small of a speck you are in this universe. And depending on where you stay, like Tortillas, for example, which is a camp on the far western side of the, or just outside the park's borders, a big part of their concession is this big dry lake bed. And there you've got the go ahead and the thumbs up to get out the vehicle and be on foot with these elephants walking across these massive, well, this massive dry lake, moon-like landscape. And when I say on foot, it is a respectful process where your guide will position the vehicle, you get out, sit down and photograph from a low angle, but while you're still right next to the vehicle. You can't just run around freely on that open lake, because that'll obviously interfere with animal movements. So it is a very much a controlled, respectful, ethical way of spending time on the ground with these big animals, walking past your vehicle. And as I'd said, this lake is so big that you can kind of reposition multiple times and get this herd walking past you time and time and time again. And like I said, from a photographic aspect, and even just a purely want to sit there and enjoy and take this in aspect, it is hands down the best part about the dry season in the Imbeceli, is being able to access that lake. Because come a little bit of rain, because of the soil type in this region, you do not want to get anywhere near that lake bed in the rainy periods. So let's move on to the rains. Two big things that make the dry season special, as mentioned, is the dust and the dry lake bed. That becomes a thing of the past when the long rains come in April and May, excuse me. But that being said, as much as I love the dusty period and the dusty season within the Imbeceli, and time with elephants on that lake bed, and sometimes you get super lucky with lake bed and then the clearing an open mountain, it's one of my favorite photographs is a large herd, but they were quite nervous, probably not all too frequent visitors within the park, running across this open lake bed with Kilimanjaro open behind them. The matriarch had her ears up, head up, trunk kind of smelling us, very alert looking at us, and a really incredible moment, but those are few and far between, that you get the lake bed and the mountain and a big herd of elephants in the same shot. But as much as I love that lake bed, that can become pretty mundane. If you've got from a photographic aspect, a target in mind, and that's what you want to do, and you really want dry lake bed shots, be sure that you go in the dry season. Do not go in the wet season, because trust me, If you even try and put one tire or one wheel of your vehicle onto that lake, you're going to be sinking in and you're going to be stuck. And that's not going to be fun. I've been stuck on that lake before. And yeah, it's very seldom that help actually comes wandering by. That guy who actually got us stuck is now one of our guides in the Maasai Mara. His name is Ruben. And at the time, he was a freelance guide that we had on a private. I had him on a private safari. And I told him, Ruben, you can't cross here. We're going to get stuck. And he's like, no, I can't cross. I'm like, I promise you, we're going to get stuck. He's like, no, I can't cross. And off he goes, stuck. And I looked down at him and I said, I told you, I warned you. And because I warned him and because I told him, I didn't get out and help and get my feet all muddy. One of our guests did. She was loving the experience. It was her first Africa safari. And anyway, Ruben, I think, knew he had a friend coming in that direction. So getting stuck in Africa is kind of like part of the experience. People will say, if you haven't got stuck, you haven't been on safari, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we got stuck there and we were there for some time, but eventually got towed out. Our guest made really good friends with a guest in the other vehicle. So it was we had a beautiful time with elephants earlier that morning on that lake bed. And yeah, it all kind of panned out perfectly for everyone involved, including Ruben, because he now is a full-time wildlife driver and guide in the Maasai Mara during our seasons in camp and in Kashui in the Triangle. So if you want to chat more to Ruben, you know where to find him now. If you know Ruben, you can get in touch with me, tell, and I can send on regards to him. But a great guy and such a good soul and always just such a positive and happy spirit. So well done, Ruben, for getting us stuck. Clearly that's how you get a job as a driver and a guide in Wilder and Kashui camp, is get guests stuck and then you get a job. But all jokes aside, let's move on to the wet season within the Amboseli. And as I've mentioned, there's a short rain period and then the longer rains. So short rains is kind of November into December. I have visited during this time and yeah, good. I really enjoyed it. And we've had really good sightings, some really powerful storms that kind of move through, although it is the short rains. The landscape starts to, it's quite a hardy, yeah, just a brutal, harsh landscape. And when the rains arrive, everything seems to just soften up beautifully. The vegetation looks nice and clean. It cools down. And with a softening, what I mean by that is life just suddenly starts to sprout everywhere. And although in April and May being the longer rains, it's just more of a steady rain for longer periods of the day. But I was there this year in May, and we had rain one day during, I think it was a 12-day itinerary or 13-day, 12-night itinerary. We had one day of rain. So we saw it raining all around us, but not on us, which, I mean, there's an upside to that as well. But everything just comes to life. Everything's lush and green, and it transforms from what's usually this super dull, dry environment into like these vibrant meadows, and the backdrop of Kilimanjaro just absolutely hums with this blue glow, and it's just, it's mind-blowing. I remember my first visit to this area. I think this was 2018 was the first time I ever visited the Amboseli during the long rains. Or no, it was 2017. Yeah, 2018. And one of the first sightings we had was about 300 elephant. They all kind of came together because their movements all, like I'd mentioned, chatting about the dry period, their movements seem to change quite a lot, is something I've noticed during the rains. And they all have to use similar paths. They all kind of have to move at the same time. And so these smaller family groups kind of create one, or what seems at times create one mega family And I tried to count, and I got to about 300, and I was like, well, I have to stop counting. And these 300 elephants were standing underneath a double rainbow in this beautiful green grass, super dark, moody, cloudy skies in the backdrop. And my jaw was just on the floor. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was quite nervous going in at this time of year because, yes, there's a lot of water. So there's certain roads that we couldn't access in the Imbasili. Their roads have been improved a lot. But they are still, like now with our recent experience, you can't access the entire park due to it flooding when the long rains come. But that being said, you still get magical sightings like this elephant sighting I just explained. So colors, the rainbows, the herd sizes, and then it is, the weather is a lot more comfortable because it's cooler. And I think the biggest upside to visiting the Imbasili during this season is not only everything I've mentioned there, but I have seen and I've spent many a days in the last 10 years in this reserve. And hands down, the best time to view Kilimanjaro with elephants walking beneath it on the foothill of this incredibly stunning and picturesque mountain is in the months of the rains, particularly April and May. And when I say it's clear and open, it is like crystal clear. There's not a bit of haze, there's not a bit of dust, there is absolutely nothing in front of that mountain. And for a lot of the times, it's been, as soon as you wake up and leave your room at 6 a.m, it is crystal clear. And it stays like that for majority of the day. And as it warms up late morning at about 11, do the clouds start forming and closing up and the mountain goes to sleep. And then late in that afternoon, typically clears again. My most recent experience there is we walked out. Gene was so upset. One of the guests I was hosting said, oh, I thought we were going to see the mountain. I said, Gene, just be patient. You're going to see the mountain. And literally as we drove out, you could literally just see how the clouds were being pulled away from this mountain. And probably 30 minutes into drive, came across our first elephant herd. Boom, mountain crystal clear and singing and glowing in that pink hue kind of color as the sun was rising. Breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. So if your goal is to photograph elephants in front of this incredible mountain, best plan to visit there in the long rains. It's also not the peak season, so the park's not as busy. Rates are a little bit better because it's not the country's peak season. But just know that a few roads might be inaccessible or you can't pass them due to the rains. But also know that animal movements can be very different. So if you've experienced the Imbasili 10 times in the dry season, know that it's going to be extremely different, not only visually in the long rains, but the animal movements can be quite tricky. And over the years, what I've come to learn is that the herds that move, a lot of them move from the swamps and further north, so further away from Kilimanjaro, from the mountain. They're not walking towards the foothill because further north is even drier, more arid landscapes, whereas going up towards the foothill of Kili can still be quite wet and tricky to navigate. But the herds that are still coming out of the forest along the foothills of Kilimanjaro are doing so extremely early. So it would be best to get out of, if you are staying at Altukai or Serena within the park, get onto Kimana Road as early as you can, because these animals are coming into the swamps super early and they're getting up and out of those swamps and those marshes super early as well. So just be mindful of those particular things. But yeah, as mentioned, Kilimanjaro is amazing, but Kenya and a safari in the Imbasili is just something that I tell every guest I kind of get in touch with that it's a destination that you need to experience once. There's something, it's difficult to describe the feeling when, I mean, you don't even need an elephant in front of it, but just sitting and looking at that mountain is, I mean, you're just left in awe and wonder, and it is a sight to behold and something that you have to see at least once. I know there's a lot of people who say you have to climb it at least once. If you want to do that, go for it. I've got a few friends and guests who've done that before. I probably still will take that off one day, but I know sitting watching that mountain, and I've done so for multiple times over 10 years, it has never, ever, ever got old. And if it were up to me and safaris I plan, so I've literally just put another trip together for a trip to Laikipia and the Amboseli. So Laikipia to see and visit the Black Leopard Giza, hopefully. And then that's in combination with a trip to the Amboseli to spend time with Tusker Craig, the largest elephant in Africa at the moment, or in the world really, in front of Kilimanjaro. And this is now during the months of April and May, because I know this is the best time to not only see Craig, because he's not going to be moving all too much, but the mountain's going to be clear. The colors are going to just blow our minds. And this is why April and May, the long rains, is my personal favorite time to visit the Amboseli. That being said, it's not really the best time for many other reserves in Kenya. And so that's why the short rains being, the shorter dry season, June and October, would be preferable, because it is just so logistically speaking, so easy to combine the various different incredible reserves within Kenya, either with overland driving, which on average, from reserve to reserve can be anywhere between 2 hours to about 5-6 hours, or a more convenient, easier way is short flights. In a Cessna caravan from reserve to reserve is also very possible, and it's a very easy destination to get around. But during the long rains, your options will be fewer, and if you want to combine more of what there is to do and see in Kenya, probably go in the peak season. It's peak season for a reason, so between June and October. But hands down, and to conclude this, my favorite and absolute best time to go to the Amboseli is in the month of May, April and May. Now, if you have any further questions about the Amboseli, about the seasons in the Amboseli, or Kenya as a whole, or safari in general, whatever it may be, please, I'd love to hear your thoughts and experiences of the Amboseli and Kenya and travel. And if you have questions, please channel them my way. You can get in touch with me on Instagram at Michael Alpsha, or via email at michael@wild-i.com. And yeah, I'll happily get in touch, answer your questions, and hopefully see you on a safari in the Amboseli in the near future. Thanks again for your ears, and have a great day further. Cheers for now.
And there we go. Amboseli is absolutely amazing. Don't just trust myself and Michael. Go and check it for yourself. We can help. Get in touch. info@wildeye.com. And we can definitely put you in touch with one of our consultants or with one of our guides if you're looking for a private guided trip to this incredible destination. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for lending me your ears. I'll chat to you in the next episode. My name is Jerry. I'm from Wild Eye. Bye for now.